The purpose of this class is to briefly explain what is prophecy according to Judaism. Let's go step by step. First of all, what is prophecy? One of the fundamentals of Judaism is that God gives messages to people in general, Jews and non-Jews, through people, sometimes Jews, sometimes non-Jews, as we're going to learn. This is the main idea of what prophecy means, messages from God. Sometimes the prophet itself understands the message, sometimes it doesn't, because sometimes the message is given in like a riddle type, and only the riddle is given and not the explanation. Sometimes actually the explanation is given, not the riddle. But in any case, this is the definition of prophecy. It's a message from God to people. Now, who get these prophecies? It can be a man or it can be a woman, same thing. And it's a person that has a lot of wisdom, but not wisdom, mathematics and physics. No, has a lot of wisdom of the inner workings of creation. Also, it's a person that controls himself completely. Everybody has a good inclination and a bad inclination. This person, the prophet, completely controls his bad inclination. And it's a person that is completely removed from worldly matters. He doesn't care about money, he doesn't care about food, he cares about God. About understanding God, and he prepares himself for prophecy. How do you prepare yourself? You, again, remove yourself from the worldly things. You set up your mind, you focus your mind on God, on understanding him, etc. And you have to be a happy person. That person can be ready for prophecy. It doesn't mean that God is going to give him prophecy. It only means he's ready. Now, when does he get the prophecy? Whenever God wants to give him a message. Not when the person actually wants the message. And at the moment that he gets the message, he loses himself. What does it mean he loses himself? He falls to the floor like epileptics. And sometimes the scriptures say it, actually, that the prophets used to take off their clothes. People used to call them crazy people because they run around giving prophecy and talking about things that God told them. Now, there was one prophet, only one prophet. He spoke to God like face to face. He didn't lose himself. And that was Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah in Mount Sinai, and he was a very special, like the master of all prophets, that fits this definition of prophecy, but did not lose himself, and did, etc. Now, who were the prophets around the history? There were thousands and thousands of prophets. Only a few of them actually registered the prophecy because it had some kind of utility for humankind, for future, etc. But there were thousands and thousands of prophets, some of them Jews, some of them non-Jews. I prefer myself a list of non-Jews that our sages say they were prophets, like Balaam, Beor, the father of Balaam, actually, Eoiv, the whole book of Job, and his friends, Eliphaz HaTaimani, Bildad HaShuhi, Tzofar HaNaamasi, Elihu ben Bakael Abuzi. All the friends of Eov, Job, were actually prophets. Adam, the first man, Noach, Shem, Yefes, Eber. There were many, many prophets. These ones are actually registered that they were prophets. But maybe there were more non-Jews also. Now, with this information, and one more step, we can understand whether Jesus was a prophet, at least according to Judaism, and whether Muhammad was a prophet, at least according to Judaism. One more bit of information. Can the prophet change anything on the laws, the way we understand them, how Moshe received them from Mount Sinai, etc.? Can the prophet change anything? The answer is no. What do I mean no? We find actually prophecies. For example, Eliyahu Novi, prophet Eliyahu, actually did a korban, an offering out of the temple, at the moment that only inside the temple we were allowed to make offerings. So why did Eliyahu make an offering outside of the temple? Actually, God received the offering when the fire from heaven came down and ate the offering. So we see that the prophet can change things. How does it work? The way it works is like this. Very simple. The prophet can change certain things, like, for instance, nothing to do with idolatry. If the prophet comes and says, let's do idolatry, God told me, we know he's a false prophet. Now, if the prophet wants to change some ideas, some laws, just for a specific moment to attain a specific thing, like for Eliyahu outside of the temple make an offering, that he can do. And we see God answering, actually. But if the prophet wants to change definitely this thing, like saying, look, until now we did things like this. From now on, we're going to do things like that. Different from what the Torah says, we know he's a false prophet. And the idea is very simple. How do we know he's a false prophet? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, the first prophet, the master of all prophets, said one thing, and we saw him speaking to God on the Mount Sinai. So somebody in a lesser category cannot come and change things. The Torah is forever. And this is actually written in the Torah also. Chukas Oilam L'Deraisechem. The Torah says in the original language that the laws of the Torah are forever, for all the generations. And it says also that we have to keep these commandments L'Oilam V'Oed, for always. For always. So the prophet cannot change definitely something. He can change some certain things for a specific moment. Now, with this information, we can say again, Jesus come to change everything. Like he says, you don't have to eat this, you don't have to keep that, you don't have, as we see really in the practical matters, Christians do not fulfill the same commandments we do, the Jews do. And the same thing was about Muhammad. Muhammad did not fit, first of all, the definition that I gave about a prophet. He didn't know how to read and how to write, etc. But that actually Muslims use it as a proof that he was a prophet. But on a second level, he changed everything. He said, I'm going to give you the explanation of what the Torah says. So we know this is not the explanation we received generation after generation from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moses, from the master of all prophets. So immediately we know Jesus and Muhammad were not prophets, even though they were non-Jews prophets, but these two were not. So whatever they say, according to Judaism, has absolutely no value. Or whatever people say that they said, whatever, that has no value to Judaism. What does that mean? It means like everybody can do anything he wants. There's Buddhism, there's Hinduism, there's all kinds of religions, and that's okay. It's not a problem. But you cannot say that's Judaism. Like Christianity and also Islam want to say that they are the real explanation of what God said to the Jews, and they did not understand it. Wait a second. We know we want what we understand. We know what generation after generation we received from God, Moses, Mount Sinai, etc. We know what we say. We know what we do. Christianity wants to do something else. It's fine. Do whatever you want. But that's not a continuation of Judaism. Islam wants to do whatever they want. It's fine. Do whatever you want. But that's not the real explanation of what Judaism is. We know clearly what we received generation after generation. And we're going to continue teaching this generation after generation until the coming of the real Moshiach, the real Messiah, speedily in our days.